Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
And welcome to the Brown Briefly podcast and weekly radio show here on the Voice of Vachon. We are located on beautiful Vachon Island in Washington State. That was the voice of Brian Brown, who was the creator of the Brown Briefly. Brian brought his high standard of intelligent, we hope, we continue, discussion of current events. It was always laced with humor and empathy. Brian's motto was, less is more, more or less. And, of course, he always offered much, much more. So I'll introduce the panel this morning. This morning we've got historian, professor, party animal, and down under aficionado, Dr. Bruce Hallman. Good morning, Bruce.
I know I'm in trouble. The only person that calls me Dr. Hallman is my wife, Pam. And it's sort of like, Dr. Hallman. I know I'm in deep doo-doo.
Oh, so. Yeah. That's when they use your middle name when your mom uses exactly. Your middle name. Yeah, you know you're in big trouble. Yeah, I know that one. Well, and good old Captain Joe, he called you Dr. Hallman. He does.
I'm always in trouble with
him. Yeah, that's right. That's right. All right, our fairy maven part. Well, I don't know if you're still our fairy maven. I just thought of that.
Less so, but still, we're still on the lookout. We're still on the lookout.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, as part-time political, full-time executive director of the Vachon household, and playwright and full-time shenanigans coordinator, Amy.
That's right. Two full-time jobs.
There you go. Amy Dreher. We've got our legal eagle, our consensus builder, former Washington State Assistant Attorney General, Fulbright scholar, and I need to ask you about that. It's Craig Bellis.
Yeah, it's good to be here. I prefer to be referred to as Range Master.
Yeah, well, you do have one.
But nobody calls me that.
You do have that title at the Sportsman's Club.
I think we have another Range Master here as well.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, I haven't done my class yet.
Oh, yeah. I actually did that years ago, but, you know, mine's long expired since then. But Kevin Jones, who's our... Defender of justice, a mariner, cyclist, and former top secret engineer is out boating. He's going to be gone for, a couple of months. He's going to try and join us on Zoom in the coming weeks. But he said as long as he doesn't have internet or, you know, the Wi-Fi wherever he is, he's not going to be able to join us. So I suspect he's motoring about somewhere this morning. I'm Truman O'Brien. I'm sitting here behind the big red switch here at the Gene Bosch Broadcast Studio. Beautiful downtown Vachon. And we have a very special guest this morning, Mr. Steve Amsden. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, Truman.
Boy, we're glad to have you. In fact, we're excited to have you here today.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it's nice that somebody's excited.
You got to remember our excitement level's pretty low here, but that's all right.
That's set the bar pretty low.
Yeah. Well, it's like when you get home and your dog greets you, you know. Yeah. Your dog's always anxious.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
There you are. Well, before we get into that, we always go around the room and see what's up with folks. So let's get started with you, Craig. What's up with you?
Well, I had the fabulous No Kings demonstration this weekend. That was quite the event. The latest count, I think, more realistically, is around 500, which
here.
Is a good showing. Yeah. Oh yeah, just here on Vachon.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, and marching down from Ober Park. Mm-hmm. Sharon Nelson, one of our guests on the Brown Briefly, gave a real rousing speech there, and then we all hiked down to the corners, and there was very little room for us. We all spread down the street. That was a good one. Right. Had a couple of parties this last weekend, a Gemini party for Lynette. There's like five of our friends who are all born within like 3 days of one another. And then I spent the rest of the time trying to fix the brakes on the MG. They went out just as we were pulling into our driveway. And when I say they went out, they went on.
Oh, really?
Just solid on. And they, so.
Well, at least it stopped.
Oh, it stopped, all right. And I'm glad it stopped there instead of when I was dropping off one of the guests of the party at the North End Ferry.
So, but they locked up, huh?
They did. They totally locked up.
I've never heard of that happen.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a 53 MG. Anything can happen.
That's true. I mean, I've had them go to the floor, you know, and not stop.
Right. But. Well, this went, the brake went to the floor.
Oh, it did?
Yeah, but then it stayed there.
That is bizarre.
So I've been tearing the brakes all apart.
Yeah, I'll bet you have. I've never heard of that.
But other than that, it's been a great week.
All right. Yeah, well, great. How about you, Amy? What have you been up to?
Let's see. Well, this weekend, I feel like everybody decided to do everything all at once.
Of course.
This weekend. Yeah, yeah. And we, you know, kind of, like 12 nice weekends a year? I mean, not nice, right? Every weekend is a nice weekend, but you know, for
weather-wise.
Yeah, weather permitting. Yeah. And so many, Strawberry Festival, obviously spoken for.
Yeah.
Yeah, so no, graduation parties abounded, birthday parties abounded, really, really, just a really great time on the island. It was a really great Saturday to come up and just, you know, see some friends and hit up the No Kings and then go to a birthday party and then, you know, see the graduation parade, which is just one of my favorite things. I mean, the graduation parade is just, you know.
Thanks to COVID, that came about, and it's just become a huge tradition.
Yeah.
And I was uptown just briefly, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is a parade.
Yeah, life is pretty rich on Vashon. Two parades in one day.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that, and then graduation party. Friend had a son graduating, and as happy as I was for Devlin, good job, buddy, was also exceptionally happy for the ribs that Riley made for the graduation party.
There we go.
Yeah, because they're the ones.
Excellent.
Yep.
Excellent.
Yep.
So, Bruce, how about you? What's been going on with you this week?
It was a good weekend. Like Craig, the demonstration here on Vashon, it's interesting. My grandson Parker's was his ninth birthday party. So we took him and the five grandkids and a couple sets of parents over to Point Defiance Park early in the morning. Walk through the Rose Garden, and I mean, it's just beautiful, and it's an easy walk off the ferry.
Sure.
But coming back, we were coming back on the 10:55 ferry because I wanted to be back here, and came off the ferry at Tahlequah, and there must have been 50 or 60 people on the dock waiting to go across to Tacoma to be at the protest at Point Defiance Park.
Oh, at Point Defiance.
So I thought, man, all the Vashon people are going to the protest
over there
in Tacoma. And then I come up here, and I came up a little early and was just standing by U.S. Bank in the shade. There were maybe 30, 40 people at the corners and stuff. I think, man, that was going to happen.
Pretty light.
And
huh?
Then all of a sudden the flood just kept coming down from Ober Park, and they kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. And like Craig said, I estimated 400 or 500 people.
Wow.
And it was very impressive. And of course, they had Umo had the criminalized Trump, being escorted around by a couple Keystone Cop dressed officers,
right,
which is really a crowd pleaser. But it was good.
Doubt.
It was very good.
Good.
And then Sunday was Father's Day, so I had the family out. Good day.
Excellent. Steve, how about you? What do you were up to this week?
I just got back from a whirlwind trip with my daughter Genevieve. We drove to Missouri and then were there for about 3 days and drove back and got back and in time to have a baby shower for my daughter Caitlin.
Oh, yeah.
So got one on the way here. So.
Excellent.
What took you to Missouri?
That's where I'm from, so that's where all my family is. Just going to have a quick visits are good, I found.
Yeah. Well, what does it say about old fish?
You need not say more.
Right. Yeah, exactly. How long did it take you to get there? Yeah.
It takes about 3 days, 3 12-hour days.
Yeah, what route did you take?
Well, I took, I went there by 90, what I call the northern route, and then came back along 80, basically.
Wow. Boy, that's a drive.
We missed all the heat.
Yeah.
It was kind of cool and rainy in Missouri.
Perfect.
So I missed all that.
You know, I tell you, several years ago, I drove from just north of Little Rock, Arkansas to here, driving a truck pulling a fifth wheel trailer, an old fifth wheel trailer. And I think I've told this before, but this you could switch tanks, you know. Well, the valve didn't work. So I had one tank. So every 75 miles or so, I had to stop.
Oh, my God.
You know, for gas. So it was pretty tricky. It was pretty tricky finding the gas station.
It's like our airplane.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's got four tanks. Yeah,
you had to go back and forth. Well, at least that one works.
Yeah.
But what I found interesting is that by stopping, every hour and a half, I didn't get tired. Well, I mean, tired, but I could drive 12 hours and, not be a zombie. I always found that very interesting.
I got to tell you, Lynette and I drove back from Missouri.
Oh, yeah.
Years ago, we bought a car on eBay.
Oh.
And picked it up in Springfield, Missouri, and fabulous trip back in that car.
Oh, yeah.
The beautiful days.
Oh, so, wow.
It was nice. Missouri's a beautiful state.
It really is.
Yeah.
Really is.
Well, I remember we camped at Mark Twain National Park, State Park, north of St. Louis, up on the river there. What a beautiful place.
Right, near Hannibal.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah, on that trip, I came up through northern Arkansas, and I felt the same way. I thought, oh my gosh, I've never seen this beautiful country. I was very surprised. So my day, I told you last week, I think that we should have our airplane should be a Cherokee truck. Well, I proved it again. This time I took a nose strut or a nose gear, which we took off of that airplane and flew it over to Pee-wee Loop and to have it worked on. But the other thing I did this weekend, I'm telling you, I'm completely blown away. I signed up for, it's a subscription to Gemini Pro, I think it's called, by Google. It's an AI program. Mm-hmm. I cannot believe AI. I mean, I've thought, well, yeah, big AI, big deal. It's a big deal. I wanted to come up with an agreement from the airport and the fire district because, we need to, for disaster preparedness. I said, I told it very little. I just said, make this agreement between these two organizations, and that's about all I told it. 4 pages of incredibly detailed work. I mean, it would have taken me 2 months to do that. And it did it
no,
in like...
No, you would have handed that job off to me.
That's correct. I would have. It would have been probably even quicker because I would have had you do it. That's absolutely true. Absolutely true. But this darn thing, it did it in like 30 seconds. There were 4 pages of, unbelievable. So I thought, well, that's cool. So I had to do 2 memoranda of understanding for a couple of other things I found. Bam, 10 seconds, it's there.
Yeah, and it's only as prone to error as the average human.
Well, or less. Less.
It depends on your average
well,
human.
That's true. Well,
yeah, you gotta be pretty fact-checked. But man, I think AI has saved me a month's worth of work over the last 2 weeks.
It's amazing. I'm totally blown away by it. Okay, hey, before we get into our small talk segment, I have to talk about what today is. It's National Mascot Day, and it's also National Cherry Tart Day, National Apple Strudel Day. Apple Strudel, from Germany. Which is what that reminds me of a great story. There's a woman at an apple strudel. I mean, this is a true story. We saw this happen. It was on her car. She put it on the roof of her car and drove away. And she went around a curve, and of course, apple strudel all over the intersection. And people are out there picking. No, not really. But anyway,
Before you go on, I was going to ask you, who's your favorite mascot?
Favorite mascot? Well, I kind of like the Mariner Moose. I mean, he's pretty fun.
Who's the one from Philly? The hockey mascot from Philly. Hold on, that one is the best. The crazy one.
Yeah. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I've seen those where they get into battles. And they knock each other's heads off.
Well, I mean, obviously the pirate. Obviously the proud pirate.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah.
She's looking it up.
I have to go with the banana slugs, of course.
Oh, yeah, of course. From Santa Cruz? Mm-hmm. All right. And what else we got here? This is Eat Your Vegetables Day. And the last one is National Root Beer Day. And that one I can go for because, you know, several years ago, my wife and I got on a jag of having root beer floats. And man, oh man. I mean, you get addicted to those darn things.
It's a diet meal, too.
Yeah.
And
it obviously shows. Hey, June 17th, birthdays. We have three birthdays. They're all in 1943. We have a musician, an aviation engineer, and a politician. We have Barry Manilow, Burt Rutan, and Newt Gingrich. How about that? All in 1943. That's amazing. Okay, today in history, we got, oh, you know what? I need to look something up here. You're just going to have to bear with me.
By the way, it's Gritty, the mascot I'm thinking of, Gritty.
Oh,
yeah. Mm-hmm. The crazy orange dude with the crazy eyes.
Oh, yeah.
I just wanted to be in that marketing meeting when whoever showed up, right, at the executive suite office and was like, here's your new mascot, everyone. I can only imagine just the first shock and awe just gives way to like, yeah. Oh, yeah, this one. This guy.
Oh,
yep. Yeah, with Gritty.
Mm-hmm. All right, hang on. All right, here we go. Yeah, I got to do one thing. There we go. All right. Whew. All right, so on this date in 1631, the Mumtaz Mahal, anyway, this the wife of... Mughal Emperor Shah Jahan. I can't ever pronounce any of those things. Anyway, she died in childbirth, and her husband spent the next 20 years building her tomb. Anybody know what it is? You saw the notes, didn't you? The Taj Mahal. 20 years it took him to build that thing.
Wow. It's believable. Something.
It's amazing, yeah.
Believe it.
Never been there, but I'd like to see it.
What did they do with the body in the meantime?
I was waiting. Steve, only you. Only you with
it. Ice was hard to come by.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, you guys are bad, I'm telling you. Okay, hey, in 1856, the Republican Party holds its first national convention, and they met in Philadelphia. So there you go. 1885, here we go. 1885, the Statue of Liberty arrived in New York aboard the French ship. Anybody know how to pronounce that? Isere, or... I think so. And I have to play a quick song here for you. I won't play the whole thing, but this is really one of my favorite songs.
From far away and distant lands, the tempest tossed with hopeful hearts and calloused hands reach toward the light, the torch held high, and cast their gaze upon the Lady of the Harbor. And she welcomes them with open arms. She says, let my children shine on, O you Lady of the Harbor.
All right, I would play the whole thing, but it's about 5 minutes long.
I want to know what song they're going to play when France takes it back.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, they're threatening, and I don't blame them. But Lady of the Harbor, that, by the way, that was originally written by a gentleman named Lee Hoybe, with quotes, of course, from the Emma Lazarus poem, New Colossus, which is part of which is on a plaque on the base of the Statue of Liberty. But that particular version was rewritten by Joe Jinks and performed by a group called Brother Sun. It was a trio that he was in. But by the way, Joe Jinks is going to be on the island in 2 weeks or a week and a half on the 28th, I believe. He's going to be here. And He's an amazing musician. Mm-hmm. He with Cat Eggleston. They'll be at the Havara. But anyway, Chris, you made it.
Yes, I did. Yes.
Good morning. Good morning. Chris Anderson is with us.
Thank you.
You know, let me. I'm going to go ahead and get through. Well, tell us about your week, Chris. You know,
I just pressure washed this Trex that was donated to the coop by Tom Coffer. That's going to go on the side, and this is kind of like a continuing process for both Steve and I, and many of you who are involved in this community thing that we have going.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes, but thank you. So, hey, let me see. What else in the history? Okay. In 1956, Golda Meir begins her term as Israel's foreign minister, and she served until 1966, and then she became prime minister in 69 and served till 74. So that's kind of when she had been in the Knesset and then eventually moved into the foreign minister position. 1965 was the very first bombing mission of a B-52. It was in the Bin Cat area, which is very near where I was in Vietnam. They called them Arclight missions, and they were unbelievably devastating. That particular one, however, they bombed an area that was like 1 mile by 2 miles. Only about half the bombs hit the target. And while they were trying to get ready to rendezvousing for that, two of the B-52s ran into each other and crashed. Took out eight crewmen, of course. But 27 bombers were involved in that raid.
Wow.
And I'm telling you, I've flown over these Arclight the missions, and it's unbelievable the amount of damage that those things do. Scary. Okay, in 1971, Carole King's album Tapestry goes to number one in the U.S. and stayed there for 15 weeks.
Wow.
It's a great album, by the way.
Fantastic.
Isn't that a great album? I've got that at home. In 2021, President Joe Biden signs into law Juneteenth, which is coming up here. I'm just curious if it's going to get canceled by you-know-who, being it's DEI and all.
Did he already do that?
I don't know. Did he? Has he canceled a national holiday?
It's hard to keep track of all of the sins.
The BS, yes. Yeah. I see Craig going to his phone. Look it up. See. But anyway, Juneteenth. For you.
No. Well, when you work in nonprofit, holidays aren't really holidays.
Yeah, well, that's true. That is true.
Yeah, you're like, no, are you sure? Can I work, though? But are you really going to make me take the day off?
Yeah.
But no, I'm going to get behind. All right.
Yeah.
Well, and there's a pretty substantial Juneteenth celebration on Vashon at Vashon Center for the Arts in the afternoon. So worth turning out.
Okay.
For that.
All right. Good. Of course, being originally from Texas, that's the whole reason for Juneteenth. It's the folks there weren't told of the Emancipation Proclamation until June 19th. And you know what was the year? 1864. Yeah. But anyway, it was a long.
Juneteenth is still with us.
It is. All right. Good. Hanging in there. Yeah, but I think that's interesting. It took until 2021 before they actually made it a national holiday. But I remember growing up as a kid in Texas, it was always a big deal, in our area. So, hey, before we get going on to the musical happenings and musicians and all on Vashon, we need to get to know our guests a little better. So, Steve, why don't you start us out? Give us a little bio. Tell us a little something about yourself.
Tell the truth.
Yeah.
I was born a gifted... No, just kidding. Prodigy.
Yeah, you and Mozart, right?
Yeah. No, I was, like I already said, I was born and grew up in Missouri, and I started heading west and pretty much ran out of land when I hit Vashon, so... Yeah. Actually, the very first time I came to Vashon, I said, very first night, I go, this is where I want to live.
Really?
And it was immediate, yeah.
What year? You remember?
Probably 82, I think, something like that.
So anybody here before 82?
I came in 73.
73, okay.
That's pretty much before, yeah.
Yeah, just a little.
Last time I checked.
A little before.
You said there would be no math.
Yeah, that's right. Well, yeah, you got me beat. 91. Well, actually, I was here in 75 to 78.
Oh, wow.
But Camp South.
Yeah, Camp South. And then I moved back to the city and I came back in 91. So I'm almost an old timer, almost. And so anything else?
No, that's pretty much
that's
it.
That's it, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
You talk too much, Steve.
Yeah. So, Chris, how about you? Give us a little bio.
Well, I was born in Los Angeles, California.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty much knew everybody. You know, it was a small town. And then came to Vashon to get to the big city.
Yeah, there you go.
And again, like Steve, when I got here in 2006, which makes me a rookie.
Oh, yeah.
I just found this place to be one of the most amazing places I've ever been. So through my Vietnam War experience, which you had and I had, and all those other experiences on Eastern Washington, I ended up here.
All right. And you said in 06, huh?
06,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're a newbie.
Yeah.
For crying out loud.
Yeah. Gee, I'm still learning the ferry system.
Yeah. 06 of which century?
I really wondered when that was going to come. Yeah. I wanted to lay that on the booths here, but I decided to be nice. Thanks, Craig.
That's awesome. So, hey, this year's Strawberry Festival is July 18th through the 20th. And Steve, I understand your current band, rumor has it, is going to be opening the show, huh?
Yeah, we're playing on Friday. I've been saying the wrong time. Let's see.
That's because they told you the wrong time for you.
Yeah. Probably they want me to show up an hour late. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
So we're playing from 4 to 5 on Friday.
On the main stage, right?
On the main stage. So, yeah.
Tell us about Rumor Has It. How did that rumor come about?
Well, that's a good question. Yeah. So Roger Taylor, this is kind of his brainchild. He basically wanted to put a band together to play music that he wanted to do, and it's very eclectic. But you know, he was listening to bands like Railroad Earth and wanted to do that sort of feel, and we just started putting the band together, and we were going, let's kind of keep it mum for, you know, let's not broadcast this for right now. And you know, the island being what it is, it's like, oh, we hear this, and we hear you're going to be doing, you know. And so we ended up just going, well, that's a pretty good name for the band, actually. Sure. Rumor has it, so...
It's not a great marketing plan, you know. Try to keep stay anonymous.
So marketing isn't really our forte.
Well, I think it's a great title, though. I mean,
yeah,
I really do.
Too.
A great name for a band.
Mm-hmm. So eclectic, beyond eclectic, what are you looking forward to playing at festival? What can folks look forward to listening to at festival? What kind of energy are you going to be bringing to that Friday night?
So we like to play music that people dance to.
Uh-huh.
We like that, and we like having lots of harmonies.
Mm.
It's sort of, we have two master harmonizers in the group, Roger Taylor and Paul Caldwell is an amazing harmonizer. And so we spend lots of time working on our harmonies, and we just mainly want people to dance and feel good and enjoy the music.
So here's a real dumb question. Do you guys actually practice?
We actually rehearse every week.
All right.
Mainly because... we like doing it. We rehearse a lot more than we play out because we enjoy it.
Have you named all the members of the band yet?
Yeah. No, I was waiting for that.
Can you tell us? Put you on the spot.
Yeah. Okay, so like I said, Roger Taylor, Gordy Ryan plays percussion. Brian Springfield plays the bass. I'll get to him in a second. My daughter Genevieve... sings with us, and Brian is her husband, so it's a family sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Sarah Perlman plays the fiddle, and Paul Caldwell plays the mandolin.
That would be the same Paul Caldwell that produced 2 Super Bowl halftimes?
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
So that's 7 folks?
Yes, I hope I got everybody.
Wow. Wow. I'm impressed. I'm impressed.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the load-in time on that?
Yeah.
There is no load-in time. Bruce.
Well, so one of the rumors at the festival is the Matt Eggleston Award. Could you tell us a little bit about Matt and how that award came about?
That's really a great question. Right. And so Matt Eggleston, he's the brother of Cat Eggleston, who most people know, and most old-timers on the island know Matt Eggleston, too. He was a fixture, musical genius, I think. And so he used to play bass. He was an extraordinary bass player. And so in the mid-'80s, if you went to Strawberry Festival, he was pretty much playing bass in every band that played. And I don't even know that I'm exaggerating. He was everywhere. And he would just carry this bass around in this little amp. And even if he wasn't in the group, he'd play with them.
He'd play with them anyway. Yeah.
So things were pretty loose back then. And so here is the controversial part of this, because I think there are at least three people who take credit for establishing the Matt Eggleston Award. Uh-huh. And so I have my own version of that, and that's that I did it.
Of course.
Well, yeah. I think you were one of the winners, the early winners, right?
I did win a few times, and not right away, but my ex-wife, Thea, and I were organizing the music for a few years. And during that time is when I said, you know, we ought to give it an award for people who show up to the most bands. And it became a thing then.
Is it ever awarded as in, like, you came on stage to play and why? You're not invited here?
That's a good question. You know? I actually tried to get it a couple of years by doing that.
How many times did you win it?
I really don't remember. I mean,
I think it's at least three, isn't it?
Well, it's probably more like six.
Oh, way more than three.
Something like that, yeah.
All right.
But there are a few people who have won it like that many times. Most of them are horn players who can just carry their little horn around and, you know, toot toot and then
Be careful.
I'm throwing the gauntlet down.
The music. The musical hierarchy.
Are you listening?
Well,
I'll tell you what, Stephen. You and your compatriot sitting next to you, Chris Anderson, have been involved in a juke joint on the island for quite some time. And it's an island treasure and one that for many years was basically kept secret.
Like rumor has it.
Rumor has it, exactly. It's been my honor to sing at the Coop, and it's just such a wonderful group of musicians and people. Tell us. Let me start with you, Chris. Yeah. Tell us about the Coop.
Well, the main thing about the Coop, what I wanted to say is their band started. Rumors has it started in 2009.
Oh.
So that's they have been together for a while. They're starting to get to know each other.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah. Same tune.
Steve and I and you and many of us have tried to figure out what the Coop is. But what I really wanted to say and came down here to say is we're now a nonprofit. Oh. And our idea overall is that younger folks are going to actually do what we've done all our lives in garages and living rooms. And right now we've had 7-year-olds and 8-year-olds at the open mic. And we wanted to continue, so we went to the nonprofit because it would be a way to do that, maybe.
I've been sitting on a joke for a long time. Can I tell it?
Yeah.
You're now incorporated.
Okay.
Come on.
I didn't expect a dad joke out of you, Amy. So,
But it was good.
It was good.
I was just going to
to add that we've always been nonprofit. Now we're officially nonprofit.
Right. But it has made a difference in our organization and the way we look at things. We have a board. We have a volunteer lawyer who has been kind of guiding us pro bono, Jesse
Dungan.
And he's and many of the people involved now, including Steve and Rob Wheeler and Tom Bradrick and blah, blah, blah. You know, there's it'd be too many to name. I mean, we just got the Trex that we're going to put on the side of the coop from Tom Coffer. No. So it's an amazing place. I really can't answer other than the saying I'm just glad to be part of it.
Well, an integral part of it, I would say.
Well, you know, you have different kinds of gatherings there, and occasionally you'll have you'll make the place open for a nonprofit to come there and hold an event, another nonprofit,
right.
which is a great thing. Yes. And now you have three fairly well established venues on the property, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Why don't you speak to that, Steve? You've been an integral part of the three stages. We just don't have any room for one more.
Yeah. Yes. So we do. We usually are inside, but then when summer comes along, we have nicer weather. We can move outside to our medium-sized stage or our larger stage across the road. It's nice to be able to move outside. The coop really isn't large enough to hold, the huge, immense crowds that we get there.
Yeah,
and you do
depending on the situation.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, the event that you are primarily responsible for, Stephen. The last Friday, sometime Saturday of the month, which always sounds like it's the last.
I know, exactly.
And I'm going, it's the last? Oh, no, wait a minute, that's the name of it.
I've had so many people go, I missed the last one. It's just the last Friday.
And the last one you had was outside in the largest stage and out on the field there, and a beautiful, beautiful day. Your Dylan birthday.
Right.
Your birthday is what we were celebrating, of course. And Dylan, by the way.
Yeah, by the way.
Oh, no. We're not in 79th birthday, you know. I mean, this last debacle that we just had.
Oh. With,
you know, the 250.
Yeah, right,
you know,
right.
Yeah,
we don't just even talk about that.
Right. Yeah. Sorry. But
tell me about that event. When did you start doing that? Your theme night, exactly.
It's kind of like everything else, it just sort of
organic.
It wasn't a bright idea and just sprang fully grown. You know, I used to play at Cliff's Pub before COVID. I used to play there for First Fridays every night Friday. And the hardest thing for me is to decide what to play because I know a lot of songs. And so I started going, well, maybe I'll just do all songs about trains or something like that. And I started having people like Chris join me and it started that way. And then COVID came and everything stopped. But during that time, I'm thinking that was a lot of fun. And I think we need to reestablish that and do it at the coop and make it a big production with have a house band for people who want to just come up and sing or play guitar and sing and have a backing.
Your house band is fabulous.
Well, thank you. That's what we call it, the fabulous house
fabulous
band.
Fabulous house band, that's right.
It is?
No, it's, to have that band back you up is terrific. Where are you in terms of publicizing the coop? You're trying to hit sort of a happy medium, aren't you?
Or Chris
what's your plan there, Chris?
Yeah, well, before I answer that, Craig, I better give the other side, which is the art side of the coop, which Sue Hardy has come on the, you know, about 10, 11 years ago, we got married, and she has been an integral part of that. Well, she does a lot. She does a lot at the Coop and has really helped a lot, been involved in just about everything. But the art part, the art class, she has an art group, and she has done that. I need to mention that and go so I can go home. And, you know.
But she is a great artist. I saw the YouTube was posted recently.
Yeah. Yeah, but let me answer that question about publicizing, or we don't publicize on social media. There were a couple incidences where we got people in there that just came in for not the right purpose. We've never had too much of that, but we have an email, and we're inclusive. We will not turn or we'll let in, you know. How do we say that, Steve? I mean, we just have grown because...
Well, what we've always done is treat it like it's... The Coop is basically...
kind of word of mouth, right?
Well, it's word of mouth. It's we treat it as though it's Chris and Sue's living room. And so we are having house concerts. House concerts, you don't put up flyers. You don't do this. Mm-hmm, it's invitation. Even if it's an mass email invitation, it's an invitation. Mm-hmm. And I just want to point out that the mass emails now are being done by Melanie Salonen. And she does a great job with
fantastic
those.
Fantastic. Yeah, so.
Where she finds the little pictures of chickens all the time.
I know.
Amazing.
Are you willing to share that email on the air?
I should have warned you. No, I meant well, the way we've done it is if people are interested in being involved, they can email me and I can share my email. It's mrmosca@gmail.com, mr.mosca@gmail.com.
Right. Great.
So that did all you wonderful. Spammers out there get that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the first time that I went to the Coop was to see Joe Jinx.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He performed there. It's been several years ago now.
It was several years ago.
But, gosh, he was fantastic. And the venue has evolved, shall I say, quite a lot.
Absolutely. Since,
I think the decor has got to be over the top.
The T-shirts?
Yeah,
well. Yeah, we have a few.
Yeah.
One thing I want to say about Steve is Steve has spent hours and hours involved in the sound of that you hear. Yeah. That is not something that you hear in most places, bars or whatever. A lot of times you can't understand the singer's words.
Yeah.
And Steve is very good at, and his protege, Danny Powers, if he's listening, has also took that sound class and he's taken off on that area. And that's really been a great thing for everybody. And I don't think they know it. They just assume it. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot of what he does that makes that happen.
Huge. You know, speaking of Steve.
That'll be $20, Steve.
Several years ago, I think it was Incendio was the group. I think they're out of L.A. They were an amazing group.
Right.
Was playing at Over Park during the concerts in the park. And Steve, he was kind of a little distance from me. And there was this one guitar solo where this guy was just amazing. I mean, phenomenal. Yeah. And I shouted over to Steve, "Hey, Steve, you're going to have to practice." And he said, "Yeah, practice or quit." Well, thank goodness he didn't quit, because he's just done nothing but gotten better all the time. And my question for you, though, Steve, is do you have someone that you emulate or that you've learned from or that's, you know, been
big for you? Every day.
I want to hear the answer.
You know, every day, seriously. I find someone new. I mean, there are so many great players.
Yeah.
But... And I've thought about that recently, you know, and the players that, for me at this point in my life, that I really respect and look up to are the ones who not only play music great and that, but incorporate it into their lives, you know, and give it to the community. And
that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Can I add one thing about his guitar playing?
Sure.
One of the things he's done with this theme, and I don't know if people realize this, is he's playing music that he would never have played under most circumstances,
right?
And he pulls it off, which makes me feel bad for all the bad habits I've had in my lifetime. But I want people to appreciate the going from Bon Jovi to, you know, Rare Earth to this to that. It's not for everybody.
Right. Yeah.
But we can't go without, we've got plenty more, but you're a musician, of course, in your own right, and a songwriter, and a good songwriter.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. Yeah. It's been a pleasure to play music with Steve, and we're talking about maybe doing this thing in July together. We haven't done that in a while. But again, sometimes people that come to shows, they take for granted. It's not in a mean way in any way, but they don't understand exactly what kind of work went into it. I know, and Roger knows, and many of us know what he does, mm-hmm. his hours in his little jailhouse,
yeah.
learning these songs. And it's an amazing thing.
You know, my daughter and I do the morning scramble, which we had this morning, and we've been doing it for 5 or 6 years now. And every week we have a theme. And I'm telling you, you know, you kind of are scraping to come up with a theme. I mean, you know what I'm talking about, Steve.
I would have a really hard time every week.
Every week, yeah.
Every month is about right for me.
Yeah, I could go there. Yeah. Well, Craig does the same thing once a month, you know, once a month. But, you know, we scour the this day in history, you know, to see if there's a birthday or if there's some right. big event that we could, yeah. But, man, sometimes it's pretty remote what we come up with, you know.
So, I mean, you have obviously a lot of opportunity to play with island musicians, which, you know, there are so many of them. And talk a little bit more about who else comes to the Coop. Like, what else might you hear, you know, when you're down at the Coop? And who do you guys kind of, who do you have the most fun playing with?
Okay, that's a great question.
It is.
Can I go first?
Yes, you can.
Oh, gosh,
don't leave anybody out,
yeah.
though.
So yeah, I was going to exactly. say.
So, pressure's on. I actually had a little time to think about this. So, again, it goes back to what I was saying before. One of my favorite people to play with and is Dave Lang, who mm-hmm. plays the accordion and fiddle and sings and does Cajun and Zydeco music. And again, Melanie Salone and his daughter started taking that up. But so Chris and I both play in that band. We're two of the Swamp Guys.
Right.
And so not we're going to actually, much. That's going to go on
Friday.
Friday. Mm-hmm. This Friday we have, we call it a Cajun jam because we play on the stage, but people can bring their instruments and play along with us.
Oh.
But we always leave a big area for dancing too because that's, what that Zydeco, music is all about is dancing, yeah. So, but Dave Lang is a great person to play with, you know. And any opportunity I get to play with somebody like that, I will make sure I do. But Paul Caldwell is another one, you know. Just
don't you find that playing with really accomplished musicians brings your game up?
Absolutely, right? Absolutely,
you know, yeah.
Well, I'm just going to mention one person that that I think has been involved in not only building the Coop and supporting us, but has played music on this island since before he came, Lauren Sinner. I want to mention him because he's been such a great guy to play music with, but also a big support of what we do. So I just wanted to mention him. And there's so many. I won't say anybody else, but that just came to my mind.
Oh, yeah.
So I have one more that I want to make sure that I tie this in. Person I'm really proud to play with is Gordy Ryan. Fantastic percussionist. But he's another one who gives back. So you mentioned the Juneteenth celebration at the VCA. His drum group is going to be
which
part
of member.
That. Yeah, well... I try, so.
You know, you're playing drums then, Steve?
Yeah. Yeah, so that's sort of the same way I play golf.
He's doing really well. I play with Gordy every week, and he talks a lot about different groups of drummers, and certainly one of the groups he's most impressed with because they started from nothing, and that wasn't too long ago.
That wasn't.
They're going to be playing that. It's Thursday, right? Yeah, Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Wow.
So question for both of you guys. I mean, there's a long tradition on Vashon of musicians being on Vashon and sort of these kind of pickup things, you know, the Garage Boys, you know, the Old Geezers. I mean, those kind of groups were around in the 60s and 70s. And, you know, Lauren Sinner, you know, Great Divide. I mean, you know, Doily Brothers. I mean, there's always been traditions of music on Vashon Island. But what is it about Vashon? Because every other person you meet on Vashon is a musician. What is it about Vashon that attracts such high-quality musicians?
Well, they can't all be realtors.
I thought they were. Some of them may be, you know. Yeah. Yeah, right. You know, I've always heard the standard joke is that on Vashon Island we have about 11,000 people, and 50,000 of them are artists, and the rest are musicians, you know. So there you go. Or maybe it's the other way around.
Mm-hmm. It's the community for me. It's just the people that support music. We have a number of people that support the Coop. They come to all the gigs that you know, when you're going to play, you see them out there, and they're not musicians. So I think people are musicians here because we get people that appreciate musicians here.
Yeah.
That's my answer.
Right. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. Really good point. Well, so the Strawberry Festival, once again, is July 18th through the 20th. Now, rumor has it it's going to be kicking off in music on the main stage. You said 4:30, 4 o'clock?
I'm looking at my notes again. I know I just said it, but
yeah, I heard I 4 actually, to 5.
4 to 5.
I heard 4. Five. Rumor has it 4 to 5.
Rumor has it.
I actually had to get that from Roger this morning.
You make sure
you tell me again which time it is.
And if Paul was listening, I'd say not 5 to 7.
Yeah.
4 to 5.
You're right, 4 to 5. 4 to 5. So only an hour though, huh?
Yeah, that's kind of typical, I think, you know.
Well, how many songs will you do in an hour?
Well, rumor has it. So part of what we do is we jam a lot.
You never know when it's going to end.
Right. So we'll say, oh, we're going to do 12 songs this hour, and you know, I'll look at the time. We got 10 minutes left, and we're on the fourth song. So, well, we're not going to get through our whole set. I don't know that we've ever gone through our whole set list. So,
you know, that reminds me of a question. One of my favorite groups in the years past has been the Allman Brothers. I mean, those guys, you know, my gosh.
Absolutely.
Just amazing. And if you watch a YouTube of those guys, I always wondered, When does one person back out and the other person comes on? I mean, you know, they do that all the time. And I know you guys do that.
Yeah, great jazz players, that's what they do. You know,
they just know.
Right.
But is there some cue or something? What do you do? How do you know that?
I still don't know the answer.
Turn the mic off.
So.
Turn the mic off.
No, it's...
That works.
It has to do with listening. Okay, so is this...
Are they coming to the end of their phrase?
Are they finished? Well, it's like a conversation, you know. When do you come in?
Hmm.
Like right now, because there's nothing going
on. Yes, there's nothing happening until you start talking. No, I just...
When you swing the mic around in front of you.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Your turn. No, you know, I've always been fascinated with that, though. Yeah. It's a conversation, as you said.
It is.
It really is. Yeah. One person brings out a particular phrase, and then...
Telepathy.
It's got to be. It's got to be. I mean, but sometimes it's just magical.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know,
it just happens.
I got to say one other thing about these two and about the Coop. The Coop is truly one of the most welcoming places that I've ever been to. And the welcoming nature of it is something that the two of you have fostered. I remember after I'd been to the Coop several times, Chris, you came up to me and you said, well, you've been here long enough now. It's your turn to start welcoming people here. and making sure people have seats and whatnot.
That's an important part of it. And if we see somebody that we don't know, we always go up and talk to them because it's something we want them to feel like they're part of what we do.
Right.
And I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, I think you're amazing at that. You really do a great job at that.
Well, yeah. One of the events I went to, I don't even remember now the particular theme, but there was a everybody brings food, you know what I'm saying?
Potluck.
Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. And And guys, the food was amazing.
Yep. Yeah.
Holy cow.
We eat well, yes.
Well, that's the other thing, is that there's not a cover.
Yeah.
Rarely is there a cover. Rarely is it, but there is a big box.
Yeah,
there's to a box contribute,
and that's why. And the idea of a nonprofit, we're now in a position where some people can actually donate through that, and we're getting that information from Jesse, the lawyer, who, because you know Sue and I and Steve and the rest of us, we've been operating on this for most of the time, not because we need it, but because that was part of it. But now we're looking further because we wanted to continue past Chris and Sue. And Steve, and that because it's been such an amazing thing for people, everyone.
Yeah. Let me ask you, tell me the origin story of the coop.
I mean, great question.
When did you find that place? When did you decide that chicken coop was going to be what it was going to be?
Well, you would ask that, wouldn't you?
He's got kind of a blank look on his face.
In 2006, Janice and I, my wife, who passed in 2013. And there was a shop down there that was just a building, and we looked at it, and I said to Gene and Dan, I said, you know, we'll probably play music in that little room that's in the back of the coop. And she looked at me, says, no, you're not. You're going to play out here in this big room. And she was right. So it started, but how it came to be or what happened after that or where the T-shirts came from or any of that, I don't know that there is an answer.
It's all an evolution. Again, you know, nothing was ever planned. And it just,
it's kind of organic, as they say.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
It just grows out of.
Bruce said, it's a tornado, just hang on.
Yeah.
And I kept telling that to Sue. I said, Sue, it's a tornado, just hang on. I mean, we're neophytes when it comes to to nonprofits and fundraising and these kinds of things. But we realized that we really needed, at this point, to go forward in a way that we hadn't thought of 15 years ago. I just wanted to be an old man in the band.
You know,
that's what I wanted to
and
be.
You are.
You've succeeded.
That's right. Yeah, that's one to no one.
I love what you said about bringing the young people in. You know, here at the Voice of Vashon, we have I spoke about him earlier today. We have a young man, Oscar Lopez, who was he's a soccer fan, and he began calling the games, the soccer games, and he calls the play-by-play. And man, he is a fabulous. He's a senior this year. We're going to lose him, which everybody's really sad about. But when we did a one of those career day things at the school, and we were interviewing kids about coming here, doing things, you know, running the board. In fact, we have two middle school kids that are running the board for Oscar when he calls a game. They're in here doing the engineering, which I think is just fabulous. Yeah. But what I was going to say is we interviewed a couple of kids that were musicians, and they were wanting to do live stuff and whatever. And boy, you guys, I mean, you're a perfect venue for those guys.
Mm-hmm.
If they can get in to start playing with you, I mean, just, you know, come up and start playing. Huge, huge.
That's our intention.
Yeah.
There's a need for it.
Indeed.
It's really our purpose.
We feel the same way. We're looking around our board of directors for the Voice of Vashon. And we're all got gray hair and gray beards, and we're going, you know, we need to get some younger people in here. Same thing. You know, we're all going to be going off the way of the world.
Well, I can't let Steve go unless I mention the fact that I met him when he was a younger man.
Yeah. Much younger.
And yes, I was too. Yes. Yeah, it's back in 1988. We had the pleasure of Steve playing at our wedding.
Oh.
So I've known Steve off and on, and you are an institution on the island.
Well, thanks. Yeah. And I have to say, what I remember of that wedding mostly is you did not share with Lynette what the last song was. Sure. And it was great. So
it was Be My Baby.
It was Be My Baby. So as soon as you start walking back down the aisle, it's boom.
And everybody
got
and you did a great job on it too.
So, hey, Amy, you're going to be the host next week. You got something for us?
Yeah, I think so. I think we're going to talk about, we keep getting questions about Island Center Homes.
Oh, yeah.
For Vashon Households. So I think we're going to see get Rachel in here and to talk about Island Center Homes and the progress with that project and, you know, why it's important and maybe do a little bit of community education about our residents there and what they're doing.
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
I look forward to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Rachel and Lee, we got a husband and wife team. Well, I might be over formalizing, but between Rachel and Lee, man, they are keeping Vashon Household running along with Shelley. So I would love the opportunity to have her in and Excellent. Really talk about it. Cause there's a lot of rumor. Rumor has it. A lot of facts. And it's actually really, really cool. I'm excited to talk about it.
Cool. Yeah. Well, for Bruce, Craig, Amy, Steve, and Chris, I'm Truman, and we really appreciate you tuning in. And stick around for next week. We'll be back. Thanks for listening.